In society today, it's kind of a, depending on which group you're with, it's taboo, or it's actually the end thing to talk about, right? The end issue, right? And that's homosexuality. Although we're not going to actually focus specifically on homosexuality, we're going to talk about it. But I think there's something that's more foundational to what we believe as Christians, okay? So I'm going to start this way. Every worldview, every belief that anyone has some foundational things to it, all right? And what we believe about everything kind of comes from our worldview. What we think is right and wrong, we have a certain view of the way things are, all right? So, as Christians, what would be our worldview? What worldview would we come from? Where would we make our assessment of the way that the world is? What do you think? Yes?
Christ-centered worldview?
Sure. Christ-centered worldview or a Christian worldview, right? Well, when you're talking to your friends or maybe people at school or maybe if you have a job, if you're working with someone, they have their own worldview also, all right? So the first thing I want to say is what we believe comes from our worldview, but what they believe comes from their worldview too. Right? So, how many of you have ever seen, there's a TV show called This Old House? You ever watched that? This Old House. Some of you maybe have. So, it's basically they go in and they redo homes, they fix them up, and whatever, they'll come in and remodel homes. And at the end of every show, the four guys that kind of star in it, each of them have a different skill, different craft that they excel in. One of them will bring out a tool from his trade, and then the other guys have to guess what that tool is and what it's for, all right? So we're going to play a version of that right now, and we're going to start this way because I think there's two questions that we have to answer before we can ask ourselves or know really the answer to whether homosexuality or whatever kind of other sexuality is okay, all right? So here's my question. This right here, can I brush my teeth with this? Who can tell me? Can I fly a kite with this? What do you think?
No?
What about, let's see, I wrote down some other things. Can I jump out of an airplane holding on to this? What do you think? Once? Okay. How about this? This, whatever this is, has a red button. Can I push it?
Sure.
If it's red.
Huh? Maybe? What do you need to know before you can answer any of that? What it is, right? What this is. Okay, so I'm going to show you. I'm not going to show you what it actually is yet. Here it is. Okay? So this is it right here. All right? So now I'm going to ask you the same questions. Can I brush my teeth with this?
No.
Are you sure I can't?
If you really tried hard.
If I tried hard, right? Okay.
Right attachment.
Now, what might I be able to do with this? What do you think?
I don't know what it is.
You might have a better idea of what I can't do with it, right? But you still don't know what it is. So that doesn't help you out, right? So before I can determine what I can do with it, I need to know what? Or what it is, right? So I need to know what this is, okay? So just follow me for just a minute here, right? So that's my first question that I need to answer, right, is what it is, because in order to know what it's for, I have to know what it is, right? So my first question that I'm going to address here this evening is I need to know the purpose, okay? So I need to know purpose. That's what I need to know. So I need to know what this is so I can know what it's for, right? Now there's something else I need to know about this, right? So can I throw it off of my roof? Can I? Why shouldn't I? Right, it might break. But if it's mine,
can I throw it off of my roof? I can, right? But I'm just going to tell you right now, this is actually isn't mine. I borrowed this from AJ. Can I throw it off of my roof? Now, can I throw it off of my roof? Can I throw it off of my roof? I can, but what? But AJ, right? I'm going to owe something to AJ. I mean, I can, but not really, because it's not mine. I can't determine what I'm going to do with this. Now, I can, but I'm going to have to pay him back if I break it, right? So now, that's the other thing that I need to know, is ownership. Okay? Those are the two things that I need to know, all right? So now, let's turn to our bodies, all right? So now I'm going to say the same thing about our bodies. You know, we talked first of all about everyone has a story of reality of the way they think that things really are in the world, right? And so they can come to conclusions about everything based on that worldview, all right? So now we're going to talk about our bodies, all of us here in the world in general, right? For everyone, all right? So the question is, can I do ... with this body? What do you think? How do I know how to answer that question? What do I need to ask first? Well, what's it for? What's the body for, right? What's it for? What is the body? What's it for? And whose is it, all right? And I would say everyone should ask that question, right? And the funny thing about it is I did this. I brought in some manuals, some different manuals. And I said, okay, here's a manual right here, here's one right here, and here's some others. And actually, I even did something really neat. I don't really like manuals, so I just came up with my own. And my manual says that according to this here, with this tool here, if it feels good, then I can do it, all right? The other one says, and this is my own, I just came up with it because I like this. Do whatever you want with this tool as long as you don't hurt anyone else, right? Or just figure things out as you go along. And that's my manual, and I like that manual. So my question is, can I just use any of these manuals for this tool? Why not? Right, I got to figure out which manual goes along with this tool. Like this one here is for a mixer. I'm going to tell you that's not a mixer. It's actually a drill, right? So now I can take this manual for the mixer, and I can try to use it for that, but it's not going to match, is it? It's not going to work. I need the manual that actually goes with it. And the creator of this tool actually made the manual. And so they know because, well, they designed it, right? So everyone's going to have to answer that same question about our bodies. So then how do we know who owns our body and what its purpose is? Well, we have a manual that God has given to us, right, as Christians, and it's the Bible, all right? So I want you to think along these lines. Now, I know that there's going to be many out there, and we're going to probably talk about this at the end and try to address some of the maybe things that you hear in school or wherever, maybe online or whatever, that you might hear some objections, and maybe you're stumped by it. You don't know exactly how to respond to it, all right? But I would just say this. Before someone can say, hey, I can do this with my body, they, just like we, need to answer these questions, right? It depends on who owns it and depends on what it's for. The thing about our bodies, though, is not only is God the maker, like this right here is a Bosch tool. So Bosch actually designed and made that tool. They have a manual for it. But, of course, AJ bought it, so now he owns it. So Bosch doesn't own it. However, according to the Bible, God not only made us, but he also owns us, all right? So we're gonna walk through a couple things here, right? And I just want you to remember these two things. So this is how I wrote it down. What is it or what's its purpose? And then whose is it or who's the owner of it? Genesis 1:27 says this. Okay, so as Christians, this is our worldview. We believe the Bible is what tells us what we can do, what we can't do, what we ought to do, those type of things, all right? Genesis 1:27 says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, a couple things I want you to pay attention to here. Number one is God is the one who created. He created us. And so, as the creator, he is the one who determines our purpose. Right? Now, this is harder to do with one hand here. But there's different parts to this tool. I was looking at it before. And there's different things that go with it. Like there's red buttons. I asked you if you could push a red button, right, on this thing. Well, see, it depends on what you're wanting to do, whether you can push the red button or not, right? If I have the drill like this and I push that red button, that's probably not a good idea, right? I need to determine exactly what I'm going to do with each part, all right? Now, as I'm looking at each individual little part, right, I notice that they kind of all fit together like they're supposed to, right? And it looks like even the battery fits on there just right. And if you notice, I mean, everything does what it's supposed to do on this thing. Well, the Bible says that God created us in that same way, right? As a matter of fact, in Genesis, it not only says that God created man, and he created them male and female, a couple things about that, but it also says he created them very good, right? Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. What do you think it means when the Bible says that God created man, male and female, and he created them very good? What do you think that means? What do you think very good means? Exactly how they were supposed to be. If I pick this drill up, and let's say I connect everything just right, but when I push this button, it doesn't do anything. It does now, of course, right? But if it doesn't do that, what it's doing right now, then what do you know? Something's wrong with it, all right? Something's wrong with it because the Creator intended for it to work that way. And from the very beginning, everything did work that way. And the Bible says that God created two genders, male and female. That's it. That's what the Bible says. All right. Now, I know the world tells us something else, and there's a whole lot of things that are added to that. But according to the Bible, according to the one who not only created us, but created us with a purpose and knows what that purpose is and says that we were created very good, right? He's the one that determines those things. He's the one that says, this is what I created you for, and it was male and female, two genders, all right? Also, something else. Not only does the Bible teach that God created us, and so he's the owner in that sense, but in the New Testament it says that he bought us with a price. So God kind of double owns us. He not only created us, so he owns us in that sense, but he also bought us. So he owns us, and that includes everyone that you talk to. No matter what they think, that's what the Bible teaches, all right? Okay? Now, secondly, purpose. What is the purpose of God creating us? What do you think? What was the purpose? Yes. To serve him, and ultimately is to serve him, to worship him, to glorify him. From the very beginning, though, God gave dominion over the earth to Adam and Eve. All right? And it specifically says in Genesis 1:28, it says, God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the earth. That was the command that God gave to them. So he gave them that, and he also gave them abilities to be able to fulfill that. All right? There's a few other things that I wrote down here about purpose. We are to be image bearers who then rule over the earth to glorify God. This is according to what Scripture says, all right? We are to love his creation and his creatures. We are to obey him and bring him glory. Okay, so then, our sexuality is not our own, right? People like to think that it is, but it's not, right? Every part of this drill belongs to AJ because he bought it. It's his, Every part of it. Every button on this thing, every screw on it, every part of this belongs to AJ because it's his. It's the same for us. So I can't claim that one part of me is mine and I can do what I want to with it. Now, I can do what I want. God's given us that kind of a freedom, all right? So we can do that, but just like if I take that drill and throw it off of my roof, who do I have to pay? It's AJ's. I owe AJ now because it's his tool, all right? It's the same thing with my body, same thing with everyone's body. It's the same exact kind of concept, right? So, a few other things. Our sexuality manifests itself not just in the act of sex, but even in function and purpose. In other words, God created men and women differently. I just looked this up, and I thought I would read it to you. I know the world doesn't like to hear this, but men and women are different, right? Not just biologically, but even emotionally and everything else, right? We are just different. We are just made differently, right? As a matter of fact, it says that Eve was a helper that was fit for Adam, right? You think of complementary, right? That's what the Bible teaches. But I want you to listen to this. Who is more at risk for athletic injuries, do you think? Boys or girls? What do you think? Any thoughts on that? It is girls. This is from the Midwest Orthopedics at Rush Hospital. This is a study that they wrote. Girls are actually more at risk for several of the most common injuries. Ankle sprains, concussions, ACL injuries to the knee. As a matter of fact, it says 59% more injuries, all right? And it goes on to say why. Estrogen in their body. There's a groove in the femur that women have that causes issues with getting injured. Wider pelvises, more lax ligaments. Slower reflex time, more, it lists a bunch of things. Here's the point. It doesn't say one's better than the other. It just simply says girls are different than boys. Now, we already knew that, right? So there are some things I can tell you about this drill. You can look at it and see. That's the case. There's other things you can learn through the manual. And you can pick up my manual if you want. And you can, if it feels good, do it. You can do that if you want. Drill's probably not going to last very long. All right, and whatever else I wrote on there, okay? Here's something else. Sex is for procreation, according to Scripture, be fruitful and multiply. It's for uniting a man and a woman as one flesh. That's what 1 Corinthians says. It says that if a man and a woman come together, they are united as one flesh. They have become one. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the one who created and the one who owns us and the one who gives us purpose, that's what he says, all right? So it's not just simply something you do. It's more than that. Sex is more than that, all right? But in God's grace, it can also bring pleasure. The Song of Solomon talks about that, right? When we talk about story of reality, the Bible addresses all of these things, and it makes sense of the way things really are when we look around and see the way things really are, all right? And I just put as a comment on that. In the same way that eating primarily for nutrition, in other words, when we eat, it's primarily for nutrition, but God's blessed us. He's given us grace, and we have taste buds. He could have given us the ability to eat with no taste buds. So you eat just because you have to. But God's been gracious to us, and he said, hey, I'm going to give you taste buds so you can actually enjoy that, all right? These are all things that the Creator has said, the one who made us, all right, and has given us purpose. Also, something else I want to point out. Apparently, sex is only for this life. Some people say, it's who I am. This is who I am. That's not what the Bible teaches. Because it's only for this life, according to Jesus. In Luke 20, 34 through 36, and I'm just going to read that really, really quickly here. So Jesus was asked the question about, if you remember the story, the Pharisees came to him trying to trick him, and they said, here's this woman that's been married to 7 different brothers. She married the oldest. He died before they had children. married the next, the next, the next, and each of them died before that she had children. So whose wife is she going to be in heaven? And this is what Jesus says. He said, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore because they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." Point being is, apparently there will be no more marriage in heaven. All right? So this is something that we have in this life that apparently we're not going to have in eternity. All right? So it's not part of who we are. If it was, then I would assume it would be for all eternity. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have the gender differences, because we don't know that. We don't know that there's not going to still be some of those same personality quirks that men have that women don't have and vice versa, right? The Bible doesn't address that. I'm going to still be me when I get to heaven, right? You're still going to be you when you get to heaven. But sexuality apparently is not a part of that, all right? So it's not who we are. Okay, so then here's my last point for this section. Then we're going to talk a little bit about something that flows out of that, all right? So then mankind was not called simply to heterosexuality, but rather holy sexuality. This is what I want you to focus on. And I think there's a legitimate point here. Some people say, why do Christians get so bent out of shape over homosexuality and they don't seem to care about people who are sleeping around with a bunch of different people, right? We just seem to care about men with men and women with women. We don't seem to care about men who are sleeping with many women or vice versa. Well, we should care. We should care for ourselves and we should care about for others, right? Because we're not actually called to be heterosexual or homosexual or anything else. We're called to be holy sexual, right? In other words, our sexuality is supposed to be holy, reserved for the one who owns us and the one who gave us purpose, all right? And it's just simply a part of who we are. It's not who we are, all right? And so we need to look at it that way. This is what the Bible teaches. So then what happened? God created Adam and Eve. Very good. They were able to fulfill all of that. But when we look around at the world today, we see a lot of other stuff going on. So what happened? What happened in our story? What changed? If God created them very good, why isn't it still that way? The fall. Right? Sin entered into the world, all right? And I'm just going to read to you what Romans says about this, and I think this plays right into this. And again, we're going to the manual. We're going to the one who owns us, the one who created us, and what he has to say. And the reason we can look around the world today and see what we see is laid out for us here in Romans. I'm just going to read through this. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse." In other words, he's saying, I own and you know it. That's what he's saying. People can say whatever they want. He says, I own, I created, and you know it. Everyone. Everyone that you talk to knows it. Right? Whether they think they do, whether they say they do, they know it already. This is what God says. It says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." And so then here we go. This is how it starts. They deny God, right? Whether they deny him by saying there is no God or whether they make a God in their own image that's just like they want him to be. Whatever way they do it, this is what the Bible says. "Therefore, God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever." Now, I just want to say very briefly, our society worships another God today, and that God is self, right? They've exchanged God, who owns it, and says, no, I own me, right? And this plays out in in lots of different areas, not just in sexuality, but even in, hey, I can kill my baby. It's my body. It's my body, right? Except it's not. They're exchanging something, right? But we see this played out in sexuality too. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations. And again, talk about natural relations. What's that? What's this for? Right? What was it? The creator of the drill made it for something? He says, in effect, if you want to use the analogy with the drill, they took the drill and they used it as a hammer. It's not what it was made for. That's what he's kind of saying here. They exchanged the natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So that's just a short passage. Then it goes on from there and it lists a whole bunch of other sins. But this is just one example, right? And this plays right into society today. When we look around and we see what's going on in society today and what society says, well, what do we know? Society is denying God. And they're saying, I'm God. In essence, that's what they're saying. I'm God. Now, some people claim to worship the God that we worship. Some people claim to be Christians and still hold that view, right? But if they're doing that, they're ignoring the manual. Here's the manual for this, right? Here's the manual. They're ignoring the manual and they're coming up with their own rules. They're taking this manual and saying, I'm going to use this one. If it feels good, then do it. This is the one I came up with, right? That's what they're doing. They're exchanging what God says for their own, all right? So that's what we know is that happens. So then that explains to us why we can look around today and see what's going on, right? So homosexuality, what do we think about homosexuality? We're not just going to simply go to a couple places or a few places in Scripture that tell us what not to do. We're going to think positively, all right, as Christians. And we're going to say, who owns me? Who owns everyone you're talking to? And what's the purpose? And by the way, not to get too deep into this, but even just the way God made us, if you look at this, you can look at it and say, yeah, this is not a pillow. I mean, obviously it's not, right? So when you look at a man's body and a woman's body, I mean, without even going into detail, God made it for a certain purpose. And it's different, all right? Now, I'm going to address some things here at the end here, some questions that you might have, but I did want to address this. So, now we see the world has fallen. We can see, and you hear, I'm sure, these things a lot about what the world says about sexuality, all right? How then does the gospel address sexuality? How then does the gospel affect our sexuality? What do you think? Yes. Right. Going back to what I said earlier, it says in 1 Corinthians that we were bought with a price. Jesus bought us, right? That's what the gospel is telling us, right? When we trust in Christ, we're trusting that he actually bought us. On the cross, he paid for our sins, but he bought us. He owns us. Not only did God already own us by creating us, but we are now bought, right? Now, he's going to give us his Holy Spirit, Scripture teaches, right? And this is all part of what the gospel, the good news of the gospel is, right? It's that he is now going to give us the ability to desire the things that he wants us to desire, right? That doesn't mean we're not going to be tempted, all right? Because we are, and all of us have our own temptations. And I'm just going to say to you that homosexuality itself is a sin, just like someone who's sleeping with someone that's not their spouse, right? So heterosexual sin is sin just like homosexual sin is, all right? Now, there is obviously a difference, and I think there's a difference in nature, right? But Still, it's sin. It's using your body sexually for something that the owner says don't do. Right? That's what it is. Right? And that's in our story. Right? Colossians 3, 1 through 5 says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So I'm going to say this too. All of this comes back to one thing, idolatry. We read that in Romans, all right? We already read that. We just read the same thing here. It comes to idolatry, which is we're worshiping ourselves. We want to do what we want to do. We want to do what feels good, right? That's the mantra of today. But Scripture's clear on that. Okay, now I'm just going to address a few things here, and then I'll have AJ and whoever else, if there anyone else wants to come up, maybe we can address some questions. But I'm just going to address a few things that you probably hear, right? How about this one? It's my body, and I can do with it what I want. What do you say to that? Without just shaking our heads, you're right, shaking your heads, but without just shaking my head to somebody, what might I say to somebody that says that? Hey, it's my body. I can do what I want with it. Yeah. AJ? Sure. What else? What if I said, it's my hammer, I can do what I want to with it? What would you say? It's AJ's and it's not a hammer. Right? So, it's not my body. Or that's what the first thing I would say, it's not your body, actually. And you can't do what you want with it because you're ignoring the purpose in it. It's not a hammer. Your body is meant for something, right? For each of us. Okay, how about this one? I was born this way. What do you say? I'm sure you've heard that one, right? I was born this way. What do you say? Sure. Well, there's a few things there, right? Well, that's assuming that someone is born a homosexual, right? Which is debatable. We don't know for sure whether that's true or not. But how about this one? Now, I'm not at all saying this is okay, but I'm just simply using this as a turnaround. Okay. Say to the Nazi skinhead who goes around gay bashing, say that he says to you, I was born this way. Then what would you say to him? Would that excuse him? Let's just ask that question. Would that excuse him, or would you say, stop doing what you're doing? You're wrong. I don't even care if you were born this way. Stop doing it. It's wrong. Because you have an owner, and he's got a purpose for you, right? So you don't even have to necessarily argue that case, right, that point, whether you were actually born that way. And the fact is, we were all born that way. How many of you here have ever been tempted to sin in any way at all? Anyone here? Yeah. All of us have temptations to sin in different ways, right? Some people it might be homosexuality. Others it might be heterosexual sins, right? Someone else, it might be to steal. You know, I mean, you can just imagine all the different things that we are born with as sinners, right? So we're all born that way. So that doesn't, and you could name off any sin and say, does that excuse them, right? And you might use something that's egregious. For instance, racism today is a really bad thing. What if a racist said, well, I was born this way? You'd still say, it's still wrong. Stop doing it. Right? How about this one? You shouldn't force your morality on others. You, Have you heard that one? You shouldn't force your morality on others. What do you say to that? How about this? You might ask, so do you think I'm wrong? So let's follow along here. They say you shouldn't force your morality on others. Notice something. They say you shouldn't force your morality on someone else. Are you getting anything yet? Nathan? Yeah. They're forcing their morality on you. You ask them, do you think I'm wrong? They're going to say one of two things. No, I don't think you're wrong. Then say, then why are you talking to me? Then what's your point? If they say, yes, you're wrong, then what do you say? Okay, by your own rules, stop forcing your morality on me then. All right? They're breaking their own law, if you want to say it that way. All right? How about this one? You're intolerant. You're intolerant. What might you say to that? You might ask them what they mean by intolerant, right? Does disagreeing mean I'm intolerant of someone? Greg Kokel says it this way. He's a Christian apologist. He says, I tolerate a crying baby on an airplane. I don't think they should throw it out the window. I tolerate it. But I wish it would stop crying, right? That's tolerance, right? Tolerance, by definition, means I disagree with you. Because if I agree, I'm not tolerating you. We agree. I tolerate you because I disagree with you. All right? So think that one through, too. A couple others here. How about this one? Who are you to say? Who are you to say that homosexuality is wrong? What might you say to that? Okay, that's a really good point. Well, actually, I'm just reading the manual. Here's the manual right here, and there's the tool. I'm just telling you what the manual says, right? You might say that. What else? Anything else? Yes. Yeah. You might want to clarify them. What do you mean when you say, who are you to say? Are you saying I can't say? Is that what you're saying? You're saying I don't have a right to my opinion? You might just ask them to clarify. And you're going to find out that they're doing exactly the same thing. They're trying to say that you're wrong about something. And so you could turn it around. Well, who are you to say that I'm wrong? Right? Now, that seems a little silly, but basically you're just saying when the world argues, you're just using the arguments against them, right? There's a few more here that we don't have time for all of them, but how about this one? Christians are homophobic and they hate and mistreat homosexuals. What might you say to that? Who said that? Stereotype? Sure. It is a stereotype. I might ask this question. What do you mean by Christians? A lot of people say they're Christians. I was just having this conversation with somebody at work just this past week, but you can get online and you can look at, there's people that go around that claim that they were Navy SEALs, and they'll go in and they'll try to pretend like that they'll get awards or go around and basically claim that they were Navy SEALs, and they weren't. And the real legitimate Navy SEALs will track them down and call them out in public on this, right? So just because somebody says they're a Navy SEAL doesn't mean they are. And so a lot of people say they're Christians and they're not. So that would be my first thing. True Christians should not mistreat anyone. That would be the first thing I would say, all right? And then my next question might be, what do you mean by mistreat? If I disagree with you, I'm mistreating you? So do you think I'm right or wrong? You might ask them. And of course, if they say they're wrong, then you say, then stop mistreating me because you're claiming I'm wrong, right? So maybe you can see some of this playing out, but I just wanted to address some of those. Now, I'm going to ask AJ to come on up here, and if anyone else, there might be some other questions that you have, all right? So if there are, then we want to try to answer these questions to the best of our ability. But this is really what I want you to go away with, all right? When you're talking about sexuality, period, Don't focus on homosexuality or whatever. Don't focus on whatever you want to put before sexuality. Focus on really holy sexuality, but ask these two questions. Whose body is this? Whose body is the person you're talking to? Whose body is it actually? Who owns that body and what is it for? All right, just remember those two things. And I think in our manual, in the Bible tells us what it is, all right? Okay, so any questions? Yes. Won't the answers that you give make them more mad? Well, I suppose for some people it will, sure. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. So we want to be careful. We don't want to purposely try to make others mad. What the goal is there is to say, look, we can have a conversation and disagree here. Right? As a matter of fact, when I talk with others, I'll even say, hey, I could be wrong here. Now, I don't think I'm wrong. I don't say that to them. I don't think I'm wrong, or I wouldn't believe what I believe, right? But hey, I could be wrong here. Show me where I'm wrong. But just to disagree with someone can't be called hate, just to disagree, right? It can't be called intolerant, because tolerance means I disagree with you. And I don't think they should throw you off the airplane, right? So part of this is just to say, look, we can have a dialogue here and talk about this, and let's see if what you believe actually lines up with the way the world really is. All right? Just like we talked about the way that a tool's made, everything fits a certain way. It's obviously made for certain things, and we know what it's not made for. And I think we can say the same thing about our bodies, right? So,
to further expand on that, I had a boss when I was in banking for a few years who was a homosexual male, and we engaged in so many conversations about the Bible. And to answer your question, could it make someone mad to the point where they're going to stop listening? It could. However, given that you're probably going to have this conversation with someone that you might have a relationship with, it's probably not just going to be like walking up to someone on the street that you is wearing a rainbow shirt and you just start calling them out on something. You know, there's an opportunity to not only engage that person in conversation, in prayer as well. But as we all know, to approach that with gentleness and respect. So it is there is a way that's going to could come across as accusatory. But there's also a way to do this in a way to show them that God values them greatly, and that their sin has been paid for if they accept and trust in the Lord. So I get your point. Yeah, coming back that way could further escalate the whole conversation, but it might just be the beginning of the conversation. And I think to David's point, coming about this from an intellectual viewpoint is a great way to do that. You're just having a conversation. And then pointing it back to God's word allows you to say, this is not just a me versus you thing. This is what I believe, and this is coming straight from the Bible. So this is not my opinion. This is what God's word says.
So remember I started off by saying everyone lives in what they believe is a reality, like their worldview, the way they think things really are. I want to try to take someone in a conversation back to why they actually hold the view they hold. So, for instance, if someone doesn't believe in God, what implications would that have on everything else they believe? Or what ought it to have? Because I don't think most people think it through. If they don't believe there's a God, then what do they really almost have to believe in? For instance. Most atheists are evolutionists, right? So what's the mantra for evolution? The mantra of evolution, the survival of the fittest. Now let's just think about this from a biological standpoint. How would a man with a man ever make itself to the next generation? They would never survive, right? So if you're going to follow through with what evolutionists claim to believe, as bad as it sounds, they should say,
Hey, survival of the fittest. As a matter of fact, they should say, hey, for gay bashers, yeah. All for it, because survival of the fittest. It's just they don't believe that, right? Because they know in their heart, right? They know, right? Remember we were talking about reading from Romans? They know in their heart that that's not right. But their own worldview doesn't accept that. See, we believe the Bible is the manual. We believe the Bible's what tells us what's right and wrong, right? So we can go to Scripture like I just did and show how God created male and female, right? And he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. So we can look at those things and we can say, this is what Scripture says. Besides the fact that everyone's taking health class, right? Is there a difference between a male and a female? Well, yeah, there is. So it's not my opinion. As a matter of fact, people today claim, you know, that they transgendered people will get what they call a sex change. You know, you actually can't change that. The DNA never changes. You can cut up your whole body, and your DNA is always going to say you're a male. The rest of your life, it's going to say that. No matter what you did to your body, and a female, it's going to say the same thing, right? That's like me, I mean, taking my car and beating it up and changing everything and calling it a rocket or something, you know? It's not. It's a car. It's still a car, no matter what I do to it, right? So, does that kind of answer that? Maybe not perfectly, but yeah. So that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to get them to see why they believe what they believe, too. I want to talk to them about that. Back to the other point, I think, too, when we're talking with someone else, we want to affirm to them that they were made in God's image, all right? So I was having a conversation with a woman that I work with, and she's a lesbian that lives with her girlfriend, and she was talking about posting one time, somebody on the neighborhood webpage posted something about wanting to. They had a 12-year-old dog that they couldn't keep anymore. Did someone want to take their dog? And she responded to them, there's a special place in hell for people like you. And she was telling a coworker that. And so I just registered that in my mind, and I didn't say anything to her then. And a couple weeks later, I said, hey, Laura. A couple weeks later, I asked her about that. And she said, oh, that's awful. That's awful, you know? She said, I believe that, you know? And I said, so she lives about a block away from an abortion clinic at 12th and Arlington. So I asked her, I said, so what do you think about that, about the abortion clinic? Oh, well, I think they should have the right. I said, well, what's the difference? This guy should have the right to kill his dog if he wants. Why do you care, you know? I mean, I was trying to play. And she actually stopped and started thinking about it. And I didn't ever tell her she was wrong. I just started trying to question her, right? And I can't go into all the details, but we actually started talking about homosexuality. And she said the church she grew up in, they hated her, she said, because she was gay. That was her own comment. And I asked her, why? Why do you say they hated you? Because they said I was wrong. And I said, do you think that church should have told that guy he was wrong for giving up his 12-year-old dog for adoption? And she said, yes. Well, wait a second. I just respond, wait a second. So it's wrong for the church to tell you that you shouldn't do what you're doing, but it's not wrong for them to tell this guy that he shouldn't give up his dog, you know? In other words, she did think the church should tell him some things, just not the things that she was holding on to, right? So anything else? We went over there, but yeah.
Well, thank you so much, David, for teaching. We'll pray and we'll head into small groups. Hopefully, you guys all were reading through Romans this week together. Memorize Romans 3:23-24. Your small group leaders will keep track of that. Stay tuned. So I'll figure out which group had the highest rate of participation in memorizing that. If you have questions on that, let me know. Let your small group leader know. We'll get it all answered. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. I'm thankful for David, who loves your word, loves to teach your word.
Lord. And I pray that through tonight's lesson that was prepared, that our eyes may be more opened and our hearts and our mouths more able to speak truth into a world that condemns the truth, in a world that rejects the truth. Lord, that we may stand firmly and know that ultimately you are a sovereign God in control of all. And Lord, that you died for sinners, regardless of the sin, whether it be homosexuality or heterosexual sin or whatever the sin may be. Lord, ultimately, you accepted the wrath of God on our behalf. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you for that gift of salvation that we can have through trust in you. Lord, we pray for our time tonight in small groups that it'll be fruitful and the conversations will keep going. Amen.